see everybody this morning. It's good to have our family reunion this morning. I'm excited to be here and get to worship the Lord and get to just serve together and get to look at God's Word together. Right now we have our kids going back to their amazing teachers back there, and so we get to say goodbye to them. And of course, you guys are all just stuck with me. So you guys got the short end of the straw there. Sorry about that. then we also have those of you that are joining us online. We want to thank you for being here with us. We love the fact that you're able to join us online, but we do definitely encourage you. We would love to see you in person. If you're not in the Ogle County area, we would encourage you to find a local church, wherever that may be, and go in person and worship together with God's people. It's a phenomenal thing when we get to be here together every single morning. I think sometimes we probably take that for granted. Do you guys ever take that for granted that, okay, I get to go to church this morning? I do. I'll be honest. I do. Like, it's just something that we do. But then I think about all of the people around the world that don't get to do this. And we are just so blessed that we have the opportunity to be here together. Those that have had medical issues and they're able to come. Those that have had societal issues and they're able to come. Those that have had emotional struggles and they're able to come. Like, this is a place, this is a time when we just, it doesn't matter what happens out there. We get to be together, we get to be a family, and we get to just worship the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. Hey, I want to tell you a story about a guy named John. John's a good guy. John's a great guy. John attended a small church in a really big town. Okay, I mean like over a million people, but this church was pretty small. We'll call this church Calvary, okay? So Calvary had an attendance of around 65 people, roughly. And Calvary had a handful of people that were just really involved in a lot of stuff, right? Like they were Sunday school teachers, they were builders, they were the grounds team, they were the servers, they were all the stuff, right? They were really involved in the life of the church. They would come to these meetings and they would serve in various capacities. They seemed to be really solid Christians. However, there was something that seemed to happen at Calvary. You see, these monthly business meetings, they would have these monthly business meetings, and at these monthly business meetings, they would become pretty heated. Like, there would be every month these pretty heated discussions, almost yelling matches at times. Like, it was pretty just, there was just this spirit there at these meetings. And the people that were yelling and the people that were really heated and really passionate, well, these were the people that were involved in the life of the church. Right? And they just couldn't get along. They were the Sunday school teachers. Maybe they were funding a large portion of the church's budget. And they all had these different focuses. And so John attended this church and he attended these meetings. And frankly, John jumped in on the yelling, right? Because he was involved in this. And he didn't quite understand what was going on in these meetings. He didn't quite understand why it had to be this way. But he was there and he was a part of it. John served as a teacher. John took care of the grounds. He did other stuff around the church. Unfortunately, there was a situation that caused John to kind of take a step back. There was a situation within the church that caused John to leave Calvary. After a couple of weeks, John began attending Bible Chapel. Bible Chapel is just down the road from Calvary. And he noticed something really different about Bible Chapel. It just was different. And he noticed something different about himself while at Bible Chapel. It was really interesting. You see, Bible Chapel was far from perfect. Every church is, right? No church is perfect. I guarantee I'm the imperfection of this church. But at Bible Chapel, people seemed genuinely excited to be there every single Sunday. Right? Like they came in just excited to see each other and with these smiles and this just, you know how if somebody's just excited, you can just feel it, right? And there was just this excitement at Bible Chapel. And one day while talking with a friend from Calvary, John realized what was going on, like it finally clicked with John. You see, people at Calvary were serving, and some of them had phenomenal attitudes, right? However, John noticed that his own attitude began to change since he'd been at Bible Chapel. He realized that while serving at Calvary, he was really serving for himself, right? He was focused on what he wanted, and he was focused on the way he wanted to do things. Along with many others, would say that they were serving the Lord. Like everything that they would do, hey, I'm doing this for God, not myself. But very clearly, if they didn't get their way, there was yelling going on. Very clearly, they were interested in serving only if it was convenient for them. Only if everything matched up perfectly and all was good, right? Then they were interested in serving. Maybe if it was something that made them look good in the community, then they were interested in serving. You see, Calvary was actually full of self-serving Christians. And John was just as guilty of that same attitude while he was at Calvary. You see, John realized that since he was part of the core group of the church, like the in group, right? Like the group that kind of does the things, that kind of leads and guides and forms the church, he learned how to expect and sometimes even demand things be done his way, the way he wanted it, to make his life easier. He learned how to do that. While at Calvary Church, he had become all about John. John was serving for John. However, at Bible Chapel, there was a different attitude, it seemed like, that just kind of enveloped everybody at the church. You see, at Bible Chapel, John began serving and finding joy in serving other people. He began to find joy. He even noticed that other people's attitudes were kind of having an impact on his own. And he was finding joy in serving other people, even if it was inconvenient. Even if it meant he had to do something extra. Even if it meant he had to think on the fly and just figure it out. He began to find this joy. And John noticed that everybody else within Bible Chapel seemed to have that same attitude. Now, nobody was serving in some legalistic or opportunistic way. Everyone was serving because they simply found joy in the Lord in serving other people. Now, here's what's sad. These two churches, while I have changed the names to protect the innocent and maybe the guilty too, these two churches are very real churches. These two churches are actually churches that I personally have been a part of. As a matter of fact, I was John in these two churches. While at Bible Chapel, there was an excitement to serve that others just didn't have while at Calvary. Bible Chapel, there was an attitude of sacrificial serving. And that was an attitude that was kind of contagious and spread throughout the community around them. You see, when asked if they would serve in some capacity that maybe they're not even gifted in, or at least they thought that they weren't gifted in, when asked to serve in some way, the people of Bible Chapel simply said, "I'll do it. I will. Because it's an opportunity to serve other people." This morning, we're going to look at that difference, and I hope that you will be challenged yourself. Now, I'm not saying that anybody specific person is like self-serving. I think we all are at times. But I'm hoping that you will be challenged to search your own heart, to pray, to meditate as we look today at the attitude of serving. The attitude of serving. We've been talking about the heart, right? And we've talked over these last few weeks. We've acknowledged that the Lord is more concerned about your heart than about your actions, right? In other words, you can do all the right things like the people at Calvary, but if you're doing it for yourself, it's completely worthless, right? And so we've been looking at this. However, if you serve someone else in a seemingly simple way, and I'm going to use this analogy because this is the grossest of the gross, if you serve somebody else by plunging their toilet, like that's the thing that you can do that feels like the low thing, right? Like anybody can plunge a toilet. But if you're willing to say, I'll go take care of that, then that action is worth everything because that's where your heart is coming from. Remember early on in the season, we said that a right heart will be followed by right actions. A right heart will be followed by right actions. Now, when we're looking at that, here's what we're not looking at. I can do the right things in order to make it look like I have the right heart. That's not what we're saying. We're saying I can have a heart to serve other people. And if I have a heart to serve other people, well, then I will serve other people. Right? And that's just going to be my mentality. And it's important to meditate on this personally. Am I doing things with a heart for the Lord? Whatever it is you're doing. And almost everybody, I think, here does something. Okay? So then you ask yourself, am I doing these things with a heart for the Lord? Or am I doing them because they need to be done? Am I doing them because somebody told me to? Am I doing them because that's what I've always done? Am I doing them because it makes me look good? I mean, sometimes. There will be times. Let me be clear about this. When I made the statement just now, am I doing things because they need to be done? Sometimes things need to be done, right? Like, just like at home, sometimes you got to do the things you don't really want to do just because they need to be done. But I can do those with a heart to serve, or I can do those with a heart of bitterness. And that's the challenge, right? That's the meditation. Because these things can be done with a heart for the Lord. So this morning, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at a few passages, and we're going to talk about a couple of examples that we see in Scripture. And hopefully we'll be able to see how to have a heart of a servant. That's our goal here. Our goal this morning is to leave out of here saying, I'm going to have a heart of a servant, not a heart to be served. Okay? Now, it's a great idea to think about having a heart of a servant. I mean, if we're talking about our hearts, and we've talked about having a heart of growth, right? And we've talked about having a heart of worship, and looking at the heart of the servant is what we're going to do now. That should give us some pretty good guidance as to just as we continue to focus on our heart and on our own personal motivation and on our focus. So we should look at some scriptures today, and specifically today, I want to look at some scriptures with Jesus. I think he is our ultimate guide. He's the example. He came here to show us and to save us. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at Jesus's teaching. Jesus's teaching this morning. And we're going to see that Jesus teaches his disciples how to be a servant. And he does a phenomenal job at it. And I'm going to tell you a story. And you guys can go ahead if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 20. That's where we're going to be at this morning. But I'm going to kind of catch you up. I'm going to tell you a story. And this is a story with the disciples and a mom. We all know how moms can be. If you're not a mom, just quietly know what I'm talking about. If you are a mom, we love you. Okay, but sometimes moms can be a certain way. And I'm not trying to be mean, so moms don't beat me later. Because you do it because you care. Okay, so here's what we have going on here. We have James and John's mom shows up, walks up to Jesus, and asks him for a special favor for James and John. My little princes, James and John. And so she is bold, right? She just walks right up to Jesus and she says, hey, promise me that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right and one at your left hand in your kingdom. That's a that's a pretty bold request of a mom to just walk up to Jesus and be like, hey, stop walking for a second. My boys are special. They're going to be on one on your right, one on your left, right? Moms are always looking out for their boys. Sometimes they're girls too, but mostly they're boys. So Jesus responds and he says, look, here. Some of y'all are laughing about your moms, and that's okay. Jesus responds and says, look, your boys can't handle what you're asking. Like, you don't even know what you're asking, right? Now, the boys, these are some tough fishermen, right? These are some guys that they just get it done. Like, they've been just getting it done. They know how to do whatever. When they're asked to do something, boom, it gets done, and there's no problem. So they're, of course, they're right there. They let mom do the talking at first, but now they jump up, and they're like, yeah, we can do it. Hey, it's all Jesus. I got this, man, right? Now, the other guys hear this. The other disciples, they hear this conversation. It's not like they're whispering. So the other disciples, they hear this conversation, and this begins to start a bit of a fight between the disciples, right? They're not, just think about this. If you're one of the other 10, you're like, wait a minute, what makes you so special? Like, I've been out here doing stuff too. I've been out here serving Jesus too. I've been out here, you know, passing out the bread and the fish too. What makes you so special? So they begin to argue, right? And in the midst of this arguing, Jesus pops in. So turn to Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to look at verses 25 through 28, if I can make my Bible work. Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great, you must also be a servant. And whoever would be first among you must also, or you must be your, I'm sorry, whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Y'all, this is a passage I feel like that gets overlooked so frequently. This is a passage that we read it and we're like, yeah, Jesus, tell them, and then we move on. And at times I think we read this and we're like, yeah. Other people, they shouldn't be lording it over me. Like, my supervisor is a Christian. He shouldn't be lording his job over me. The elders at my church, they're Christians. They shouldn't be lording their position over me. You people, you shouldn't be lording it over me, right? Like, that's how we read it. That's how we think about it. This week, I read another person's modern take of this passage, and I'm going to read it to you this morning, but I'm going to give it's going to make you uncomfortable, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you here. It's going to make you uncomfortable, and maybe it's going to make you respond with a, well, that's not fair. Push past that, all right? Bear with me here. Because what we're trying to do today is look at our hearts and see, where am I serving from? Am I serving from a heart of the Lord, for the Lord, or am I serving because of myself? That's our focus here. That's what we're looking at. So with that in mind, let's take a look. Here we go. Hey, church members, I know that the world says put yourself first, look after number one, but that's not the way you're supposed to do it. Stop complaining about the music style and the doing things the way that you want. Stop demanding church leaders to do things the way you would like them to be. Stop trying to get your way in a church meeting. Instead, put others first. Put your desires last. Become a servant instead of a whiner and complainer. Now, that's a pretty hard take if we're honest, right? Like, I'm not a whiner and complainer. I'm not yelling at you. Look, listen, let me just say this. This church, we have business meetings. We have quarterly meetings at this church. We have never had ugly meetings. We've had a couple of tense conversations. We've never had ugly meetings, at least since I've been here, within this church. I just want to be very clear about that. But it kind of makes sense when we look at that passage and we see this kind of, Jesus is kind of telling the disciples to knock it off. Like, you're not bosses. This isn't a hierarchy of you're better than this other person. So quit complaining about it. Quit whining. This is the type of comment that could challenge people from either Calvary or Bible Church. Right? Both of those churches that I talked about earlier. You see, the church that is filled with people that are serving for themselves can be called out for this statement, right? Like, they are totally rebuked in their attitude. And hopefully they would repent. However, the church that is filled with people that are serving for the Lord can be reminded of how easy it is to turn your service from the Lord to yourself. How easy it is to fall into a place of serving for self instead of for the Lord. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples here. That's what Jesus is pointing out. And the cool thing is about Jesus, and I think we all know this, the really cool thing about Jesus is that Jesus didn't talk about serving. Jesus served, right? Like, we see Jesus actually serve other people. He's not just a talker. You see, there's a time later in the life on a day that Jesus will be betrayed. And Jesus and the disciples are together, and they're having a final Passover meal. And you guys know the passage. It's in John. I'll tell you where in a minute. But they're having their final Passover meal, and at this meal, Jesus will introduce the Lord's Supper. He's introducing communion. He's talking about this. So they're there, and they've just finished eating. And Jesus gets up. He takes off his robe, okay, his outer robe. He takes it off. He grabs a towel, ties it around his waist. He picks up a bowl and fills it up with water. And then Jesus did something that was uncalled for. Because then Jesus began washing the feet of the disciples. Jesus began walking around and washing their feet. And they were not all excited about this action. Like, this is the lowest of the low. Whenever I've talked about this passage, I always want to remind you that the position of the foot washer is the least important slave or the youngest child. It's the lowest of the low. If any house is on a hierarchy, it's the bottom of the ark. Okay? It's the lowest of the low. And so some of them, they're not very excited. As a matter of fact, some words were said here initially. There was a little bit of a tense conversation that happened there in the beginning. Thing is that Jesus actually walked around washing these men's feet. Even Judas. And I think that's really important. Because he knew that Judas was about to betray him. And he still washed his feet. How many times do we personally get an attitude of, that person's not very nice to me, I don't want to serve them. I'm mad at them, I'm not doing anything nice for them. That person is so mean and obnoxious and nobody likes them. I'm not going to serve that person. They need to serve. How often do we personally have that moment of disagreement with somebody? So I'm not going to serve them. Like, I'll serve everybody else, but I'm not going to serve Merle because he made me mad today. Jesus took the dirtiest job, the job that was reserved for the lowest of the low in every household, and Jesus took that and he served every single one of them. Now let's take a look at what Jesus said after he did that. Turn over to John chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 12. I'm in chapter 12. I didn't think that looked right. John 13, verse 12. And when he washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed his place. And he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for I am so. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Did you catch what Jesus just did? You see, earlier in their travels, Jesus told them that whoever would be great should be a servant. Whoever would be in charge, whoever would be important, should be a servant. And he just showed them what it looks like to be a servant. He took the lowest role of the lowest servant and literally washed their feet. You see, in this action, Jesus showed us the heart of a servant. Jesus displayed for us the heart of a servant in that moment. Now, that's not all. Jesus is the most important figure in Scripture, right? All of the Old Testament points forward to Jesus. All of the New Testament points backward to Jesus. Jesus is the reason that the whole book exists. But Paul said something a little bit important later on too. And so we're going to look a little bit at Paul's teaching. You remember Paul. Paul's the guy that started his life studying, right? Started his life knowing all of the right things to do. Paul knew so much that he supported and encouraged others to throw stones and kill Christians. Like, Paul knew all of the Scriptures. And so Paul pushed them and encouraged them to throw stones and kill Christians. However, Paul's life was changed when he had an encounter with Jesus while he was traveling. The encounter was so powerful that his entire life changed. So after that encounter, Paul was so bold. He was bold already, but after this encounter, Paul was so bold that God used him to spread the message of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection all over the known world at that time. Later, Paul wrote letters to churches around the globe, around the areas that he had been to, that he helped start these churches. He wrote them letters and he asked them to exchange them with each other. And he wrote specifically, he wrote one letter to a place called Philippi. And today we're going to read a portion of that letter because Paul makes a pretty bold statement within this letter. All right, now keep in mind, when we read what we're about to read, I want you to keep this in mind. Paul was in jail while he's writing this letter. Paul is in jail facing certain death. Now, death in the hands of the Romans is not going to be a calm, lethal injection. Okay? Paul knows what he's getting into. Paul knows what he's about to experience. And he writes these letters. He writes this letter to the church because he's more concerned about the Christians that are living their lives than he is about his own life sitting there in pain and agony. So let's take a look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And this whole chapter, I want to encourage you guys to read this entire chapter, specifically verses 1 through 11. Read that, and I promise you will be encouraged. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look to his own interest, but also to the interests of others." Remember, Paul's sitting in jail while he's writing these words. He's writing these words while also proving that he's living them out. Because he's in jail, and instead of trying to get out of jail, he's writing letters to encourage other Christians. And he goes on to talk about our focus. In verse 5, he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Now, I want to be a little bit nerdy for a second. You see, the way that this word mind is written, and I'm not going to get into the whole, all of the Greek and everything, but the way that it's written in the Greek is a little bit more nuanced. And so there's another translation that captures it really well, and I want to share that. This is the NET, New English Translation, and Philippians 2:5 in the NET says, "You should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had." You should have the same attitude towards one another that Christ Jesus had. In other words, you should use the same type of thinking that Jesus had. So then you ask yourself, okay, what was Jesus' thinking? What was Jesus' attitude? Well, that was the attitude of a servant. We saw that earlier. That was the attitude of a servant. And we read here even that Jesus' heart of a servant took him to death, even death on a cross. In verse 8, it says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross," which is, throughout history, the most gruesome, horrible, tragic way anybody could die. The most painful death of all time happened at the hands of the Romans on the cross. Nothing else has been that horrible since then. Nothing else was that horrible before then. The Romans studied how to torture people and keep them alive. That's why Jesus came when he came, because he experienced the worst that could be experienced. And you see, through this, through Jesus' teaching, through Jesus' humility, we see that Paul made it clear. Paul made it very clear. Jesus made it very clear. We are to serve other people. We are to serve others. So it's pretty clear, and I'm not telling you anything you guys don't already know. I know this. You guys are here this morning, and you're saying, "Pastor Billy, we've heard this. We know we want to serve." So let's do something a little special. I want everybody should have one of these cards today, right? Does everybody have one of these cards? I want everybody to lift it up. And if you don't have one, Bethany's going to bring one around and make sure everybody has one of these cards. It's very important. Everybody needs one of these cards today. I want everyone to have a card, and you're going to write something on that card this morning. Okay? You don't have to write your name if you don't want to, but feel free to write your name, obviously, whatever it says, your prayer, comments. If there's anything God's working on in your heart, write that down. But I have something special I want to ask you guys to write this morning. See, I wonder what it would look like if everyone in this room this morning made a commitment today. If everyone, every single one of us, none of us are left out, none of us are too good, none of us are too bad, we all make a commitment this morning. I wonder what it would look like If everyone made a commitment to serve for 2 hours this week, within the next 7 days, I don't know how many hours are in a week, a lot though, 7 times 24. Within that many hours, if you could give up 2 of those hours to serve someone else, just 2 hours, what would it look like if everyone in this room served for 2 hours this week? And here's the other twist to it: with the heart of a servant. Not with the heart of, well, pastor said I had to do this, so here we go, I'm going to go serve somebody. If everyone in this room made a commitment to serve in a way that mimics the heart of Christ, do you think, for a moment, do you think that that's possible? A few of you are acknowledging, yes, it's possible. A few of you are looking like deer in the headlights kind of situation. That's okay. I'm going to push you this morning because that's kind of why you pay me. I'm asking you to write down this morning, right now. I want everyone in this room to write down how many hours you personally are willing to commit to serve someone else with the same heart that Jesus served you. Now, you don't have to put your name, but I want you to write down on your card how many, and if it's zero, if you seriously are here this morning, sincerely, and say, Billy, I'm not there. I can't serve in that way. Maybe I've got some bitterness. Maybe I've got some anger. Maybe I've, whatever it is. If you're here this morning and you're like, I'm not going to do it, then write zero. That's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's okay because that's where you're at. Write down how many hours you're willing to commit service, commit to serve others. Now, this could be at church. This could be serving. And some of you are like, done, because I run the sound booth and I'm here for 3 hours already. Boom. But remember, I said the heart of Christ. So I don't know. Maybe it's walking around Leaf River, picking up trash. Maybe it's walking up and down your own neighborhood, picking up trash. Maybe it's helping somebody at the grocery store. Maybe it's serving at hospice or at Pinecrest or at a hospital or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. There's no legalistic, this is what you have to do situation. Just asking, how many hours can you serve other people this week? Not next week, not in the future, this week. Are you able to give up at least 2 hours? Now, here's the thing. I'm not checking up on you here. Okay, I'm not going to like call you up on Saturday night and say, all right, did you fulfill your 2 hours this week? That's not going to happen. But I am going to ask every single person in this room, as you leave, there's a basket on that back table. And I'm going to ask every single person to drop your Connect card in that basket as your offering to the Lord. Like I said, you don't have to put your name on it. As your offering to the Lord, saying, God, I am committing these hours to you, not to myself. That's the key. To the Lord, not to myself. Remember, no one is checking up on you. But I want you to offer these hours to the Lord as an act of gratitude. And here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to say in your heart. I will have an attitude of serving. I will have an attitude of serving. Listen, if you are here this morning, or you're joining us online and you're wondering why a group of people would commit to serve other people for 2 hours this week, then I would love the opportunity to tell you about it. I would love the opportunity to sit down with you and tell you that we can give up a couple of hours in our week because we have the joy of knowing that Jesus literally died for you and me, for my sins, because I got a lot, But Jesus literally died for them. So why can't I give a couple of hours? That's the least that I can do for him. You see, a few hours this week is literally just a token of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us in this room. For those of you joining us online, I want to encourage you to write down how many hours you're going to offer to the Lord and send them as a message, an email, a carrier pigeon, whatever it is. Maybe a smoke signal if you're a anti-technology guy, Merle. So let me ask you, what would it look like? And I just want you to think. I want you to dream. I want you to let your mind kind of go here for a minute, okay? What would it look like if you were to accept the grace, the forgiveness, and the joy that is being offered to you through Christ by serving other people? Like, what would that really look like? It might be, I'm just going to be honest, it might be hard at first. You might have to kind of push yourself and say, okay, fine, I'll do something. You might have to do that. But what would it look like if you actually had joy for serving other people? If it actually just made you excited. If you're here this morning and that interests you, or if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Billy, I don't understand this joy that you're talking about because I'm telling you my life is not joyful, then let me encourage you to reach out. We offer biblical counseling for men, for women, for couples, financial, whatever it is. Let me encourage you to reach out and let's have a conversation about how you can turn your heart from a heart for yourself, which we're all guilty of from time to time, if we're honest, right? But how can I turn my heart from a heart of me to a heart for others? Ultimately, into a heart for the Lord. So if you're here and there's something God's been showing you lately, if there's something you've been encouraged by, then talk about it amongst yourselves. Like, share with each other, hey, you know what God showed me this week? I was driving by and I saw this beautiful sunset and God just reminded me of the life that I have with him and the beauty in the colors and that he did this for me. Isn't that awesome? Like, have that conversation with a church member and let's have that joy of serving and experiencing the Lord with a heart of service. Let me pray for us this morning. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. You are an amazing God. You have given us so much. Lord, you have offered yourself. Even when we spit in your face, and you continue to hang there on the cross, and you said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And God, that's us. Forgive us, we don't know what we're doing. But Lord, we want to invite you this morning into our hearts to change our hearts from a heart of self to a heart for you, Lord. Lord, we desire as a church, as individuals, to invite you in to wreck our hearts and ensure that our hearts are aligned with your heart, Lord. God, we truly desire for you to be our focus for everything. Our goal is to live a life pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the provisions that you give to us on a regular basis. Because we have nothing without you, God. So God, we thank you. We lay our worries, our anxieties, our stresses, our hearts at your feet, to do with as you will. and we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.